My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, it's my pleasure to introduce four men and a girl. The four men, John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. While the girl is the one who gets all the fan mail, our scorer, Mary Bell. One of the best ways of telling a complicated story in opera, or in any drama, I suppose, for that matter, is for one of the cast to say to another member of the cast, "Tell us a story." And the other replies, "Well, John, who's telling his mates this story?" That's right. Who's telling his mates that story?
It's a bloke called Ferrando.
That's right.
It's one of those plots that it always says in the programme, but we are to know that.
Yes.
And when I once saw that lovely bass, Marian Novakovsky, who sang the part of Ferrando, and there's always a little castle, and they put up the drawbridge, and in comes Ferrando. Well, that evening, the rest of the castle went up, but not the drawbridge.
Yes.
So,
yes. Ferrando.
Good old Ferrando stayed behind. And they said to him, "Well, why didn't you come in?" He said, "Opera is realistic. Gate no go up, not come in." Didn't have to make a mess of Ferrando's piece.
Yeah. Ferrando, Captain of the Guard. The singer on the record is Ferruccio Mazzoli. Frank, also in Il Trovatore, this gentleman is singing something very vehemently indeed. What, please, is the gist of his song?
This is so well known, it's silly. It's the winter solstice, and the small orc has got his foot caught in the guttering. And he has to deliver the bird to Antonio by midnight, or else the wrath of his father-in-law, who is, of course, terribly interested in little Joanna, in order that he should win her hand before the orchestra comes in to play for the nuptials of Brenda.
Well, you are to know that that's wrong.
But all my life I've clung to that.
He gets a mark just the same. Ingenuity always does on this programme. He's singing, Franco Corelli on the record sings, "The flame burns, it inflames my whole being," etc.
Well, same sort of thing.
Ian, without going into the whole plot of Il Trovatore, please.
He does.
Who is this, and what, broadly speaking, is his message?
You know, Steve, sometimes somebody who's been around as long as I have and is introduced, say one's going to speak or something, people will, you know, make some complimentary remark like, here's Ian Wallace, who probably has forgotten more about opera than most of us, you know. And I have completely forgotten.
Beautifully disguised.
For a quarter of a mark, I will tell you that the first time I ever heard Il Trovatore was at Parma in Italy. Mm. And the baritone had arrived having sung in Rome the previous night, and he'd driven 400 miles, and there was the dress rehearsal, and the dress rehearsal didn't start till 11 o'clock at night, and I was given a ticket to go and see it. Now, normally a singer under those conditions with a performance to do the next night would have marked it, would have just not sung it out at all. And this singer, who was marvellous baritone, Paolo Silveri, was singing absolutely flat out. And I asked the conductor afterwards, I said, why was he singing? It was only the dress rehearsal. I said, in Parma, it's dangerous not to sing out at the dress rehearsal because the chorus are the people who tell the town whether they've got a lousy baritone the next night. So we've got to sing out, otherwise nobody comes.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
That answers my question. Gets a mark any time, yes. Count de Luna, Robert Merrill on that record, is singing about her flashing smile. Dennis, in Act Two, there's a famous chorus. Can you explain, please, the clanging noise?
Well, there are only two clanging noises in great music. One is the one that Judy Garland got when she stood on the trolley. And the other one is the anvil chorus from the opera that's got the anvil chorus in.
That's right, yeah. Absolutely right. It's the gypsies working at their anvils. Or, as I see, I've typed here, at their navels. But that's... Just a final snatch from this hugely popular opera. A quick half mark for Frank or Dennis. Listen to this man singing and then tell me why he sounds so distant.
It's because you turned your hearing aid down.
Sound like that.
Actually, yeah. he went to Abbey Road Studio 3B. And it was all the rest were in Studio 3.
Yes, quite right. He's singing from a distant tower where he's imprisoned. John, this comes from a diary column in the Times newspaper. Although he is the second most prolific conductor in the history of the gramophone, he has only just recorded his first opera. That was dated June 1983. Who would that be, do you think?
Neville Marriner.
Yes, Neville Marriner. He just recorded Rossini's Barber. That's right, it was Neville Marriner.
Lincoln Frank, Boy, of course.
Yeah, Lincoln Boy, indeed.
Yes, yes.
Frank, Neville Marriner recorded some 300 LPs with his Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Or is it St. Martin's in the Field? Can we get its name straight? And while we're at it, what is that church's connection with Nell Gwynn? It's St. Martin.
She's almost certainly buried there. Absolutely. Quite a lot of people are buried there.
Yes,
is she buried there?
She's buried there, yeah.
The author of Joe Miller's joke book is buried there. Clement Dane is buried there, I think.
Clement Dane, not St. Clement Dane.
Except that's where
church,
the name came from.
And is it St. Martin's in the Field, or the Fields, or Martin, or what is it?
Well, I think you should have found that out before asking me the question. This could be very misleading.
On this rare occasion I did. It's Martin in the Fields, as you know. Yeah. Ian, if you had been born a Victorian, might you, or might you not, have given your fans a monopolylog?
A monopolylog?
Yes.
Or a monopoly log?
Yes.
Sounds like what Stanley Holloway might have had over Sam Pickup Thy Muskie. Poly means many. Monologue means so many monologues.
Yes. So what happens on an evening of monopolylogue?
A one-man show.
Yes. So the answer is yes, you would have given your Victorian fans a one-man show, a monopolylogue.
I must say, I never thought of calling it a monopolylogue with Ian Wallace. You might have got more people.
Dennis, two Welsh organists, named respectively Fish and Pie, which is a nice conjunction for a start, gave in 1983 a 17-hour performance of a work called Vexations by the French composer Satie. They billed it as the world's most boring concert. I suspect that it can't have been. What would you nominate as the world's most boring concert?
Brace yourself, Steve. Yeah. You're in it. I would think... But then it would really... really. If it was billed... Hinge and Bracket sing the Fats Waller songbook.
A fair bit, I think, that one, yes. Actually, this particular show, the work they played, performed, consists of a single sheet of music, which, according to the score, has to be repeated 840 times. You haven't heard it, John, have you, this piece by Satie?
No. Not I'm sure he didn't intend it. Just meant it as a joke.
Well, yes, sure.
Some crashing bore has taken him seriously.
Well, yes. Somebody's got a lot of royalties out of that performance, didn't they? It's not hard to tell a Geordie accent, a Liverpudlian one, or that charming genteel Edinburgh. You can do that, Ian, can't you, that genteel Edinburgh?
Yes, I suppose I can.
You do that. I can, that's right. That's right. Anyway, here are some real Mummerset English dialect songs that I've culled from the BBC Sound Archives. John, yours is called, and why not, Dumble Dum Dolicky. The song was originally collected in one county, but it's sung now in the accent of another. One mark for either county.
Last New Year's Eve, as I were joined, young Urchard mounted his knob and gry, and strolling off from Taunton Din to court the parson's daughter Jim, Fritz Dumble Dum Dolicky, Dumble Dum Dad.
I hope young children aren't listening.
There was actually a reference to a place, if you heard it in there, John, but the county, please, of origin or the accent?
Avon.
Well, that's very cute of you, actually, because now I don't know whether it's part of Avon or... I will tell you what's written down here. There was a reference to Taunton Dean in the original, so it's collected in Somerset, but it was sung by Mrs. Rumble, and it says in brackets on the record, Aunt Fanny, in a recording made at Till's Head in Wiltshire. Does he get any mark for Avon, anybody?
No, no, no.
Right. Yeah, you rotten lot.
Frank, can you place this singer giving us a verse of... Try giving us a verse of the Princess Royal.
On the 14th of February when we sail from the land in the bold Princess Royal bound for Newfoundland with 40 bright seamen for our ship's company. When so boldly from the eastward to the westward for
wind. One shouldn't really laugh.
Cecil Sharp spent his whole life listening to that.
Writing them down and giving people fivers, yes.
It's the singing lighthouse keeper.
Well, there could be a lighthouse on the coast of this county.
Well, it's not north.
I don't think
Midland. It's not your East Midland.
No, no.
None of that stuff. It's...
No.
I can't think of anywhere else.
Half a mark. I'll give you the name of the place, new term of the county, Eastbridge.
Eastbridge? Just on the left of Westbridge in...
The singer was Velvet Brightwell, lovely name, and the accent, the dialect, was Suffolk. Ian, I've been looking forward to playing this to you, because you like to introduce your songs with a brief resume of what it's about, so you will appreciate this singer's programme note.
Old Wiltshire song, and old men all used to be Ed Butler. When I was a little boy, I always said Butler out of the army. Ed Butler, and then old sailing was the war, they weren't a big and a plumper.
Well, sing of that bit that you know.
Now is the time for fishing, if you mean to have a try. Get your tankland ready, it's no use to keep them dry.
Ian. It's lovely, isn't it? I love the introduction.
That's marvellous, isn't it? Is that Norfolk?
Yes, the county of your holiday home.
Yes,
you've got a cottage there, haven't you? It's Sam Larner of Winterton, or was, singing in...
Oh, Winterton, yes, I know Winterton.
Norfolk accent, Norfolk dialect. Dennis, I'm very fond, personally, of the song The Nightingale. I remember actually getting Ian to sing it once, but not in this accent.
As I was strolling through the forest one day, there I saw a loving couple a-wending their way. One was a pretty fair maid, and her beauty shone clear. And the other was a soldier, a bold grenadier.
Yeah. The county, Dennis?
This is the world's second most boring concert. I know exactly where that comes from. That comes from the last underground train, and you're the only two in the carriage, and he sits opposite you, and he offers you a big brown bottle and says, "Go on, go and have some." So I would say it's round about somewhere between Chalk Farm and Tottenham Court Road.
Well, I have reason to believe you were brought up in this county. Anyway, part of your youth is spent there, I know.
Was it? Well, part of my youth is spent in Brighton.
Yes, Sussex.
Is it?
Yes,
is it?
It's a Sussex accent.
Oh, you get a lot of things.
Think about
outside Sherry's on Saturday night.
Think about the old days, and if we sit happily at home listening to singing like that, yeah, instead of this sort of wretched television and watching Jewel and the Crown. And
I couldn't help feeling listening to all four. That's what we would all sound like if this program ran another 20 years.
Or with some of us Thursday week.
It just sounded like the last round to me.
And it would be too.
The accent was Sussex, and the place where it was recorded was Fickleworth. Oh. Right. Four notes. As in... But you'll find those four notes at the start of many songs, including this one. Mona Lisa. John, same four notes.
Give them away.
John, a march for you. What is this?
Can I sing the words?
No. Just the title, please. Two-word title. By the course.
Oh, Washington. Washington Post.
Washington. Blaze Away.
Blaze, yes. Frank's got it. All right, that's right. Frank's got it. Blaze Away.
Wonderful countermelody, wasn't it?
The euphonium countermelody. Yes, I hadn't thought about that. Frank, yours is slower, more tender, far more sentimental, but the same four notes. Yeah, it's you. A little extra note on the front.
I wonder whether, for half a mark, I could enlist the eager members of the audience, yes, all of whom instantly recognise.
Anybody
me.
Know?
It's just a little.
No, not a bird in a gilded cage, madam. No, yeah. It's just a little street where old friends meet.
Never heard
the title. No. Ian, a song about someone who's 21.
Is it 20 years ago?
Yes, that's
From Princess Ida.
Yes, Ida was a 12-month-old 20 years ago from Princess Ida, that's right. Dennis, I wonder if you'll remember this.
I feel I'm letting you down in vaguely some way tonight.
You'll be mine in apple blossom time.
It does never in a million years fit those four notes.
No.
Never
in a million years.
I'm afraid not. Can't do right.
Well, better that way. Just one for the audience to call out. Thank you, yes. Somebody's got something at last, and I'll be happy, yes.
Extremely good timing, too.
Yes, that's right. An ingenious couple in Yardley, Birmingham, Mr. and Mrs. J.S. Wright, having noted the composers Joseph Souk and John Blow... wish to put it to you that Larry Adler should have commissioned Sook and Blow to write a special piece for his harmonica. The same couple, though, have noted the Wren Orchestra and a conductor named Andrew Parrott. And they'd like to know what items such a combination might perform. The Wren Orchestra conducted by Parrott. John.
Obviously a piece by Respighi. The Birds.
The Birds by Respighi,
it's,
yes.
It's an orchestral tweet.
Yes. Frank, anything for...
In a minor key.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And come fly with me, come yes. fly, come fly away. Yes.
Ian, the Wren Orchestra conducted by Parrott in...
Anything polyphonic.
Oh. Dennis, any ideas?
I've been... It's the trouble about being the last one on this yes. round is you immediately think what you think is going to be now. We're waiting for somebody to say any work by John Cage...
Oh, yes.
In
oh,
which
yes.
case I would have said Birdie's Requiem.
I think something arranged for Small Orc would be the... From here on it's singing, or next best thing anyway. Frank begins by reviving Margie, who's been a bit quiet lately. I think we'll dedicate this to all Margarets.
My little Margie, I'm always thinking of you, Margie. I'll tell the world I love you. Don't forget your promise to me. I have bought a home and ring and everything for Margie. You've been my inspiration. Days are never blue. And after all is said and done, there's really only one. That's Margie. Margie,
W.B. Yeats, the words, Benjamin Britten, the arrangement, John Amos, the singer, down by the Sally Gardens. It's an open secret that Al Jolson had a way of adding his name as part composer to songs brought to him by other people, by De Silva and Gus Kahn in this case. On the other hand, he then made the songs into hits, which they couldn't have done without him, perhaps. Sometimes, that was, not every time. This one got away, Dennis, didn't it?
She's got a pair of eyes that speak of love and everything. She's got a smile like an angel's up above and everything. The little birdies start to sing. When they see her, they think it's spring. Like April showers, they make the flowers just seem to grow and everything. She's got the cutest little dimpled hand and everything. A pretty finger for a wedding band and everything. And if she'll be my little wife, we'll lead the simple life. And we'll raise a lot of ducks and cows and geese and everything.
You'll know from just four notes of my introduction which song Ian has elected to sing.
'Tis the last rose of summer left blooming alone. All her lovely companions are faded and gone.
I like that line about my lovely companions. Of my lovely companions, only two can win in any one week. And this week, the winners are... four. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.